You're listening to RAWF After Hours on the RAWF Radio Network.
I'm your host, Lord Amadeus, the president and CEO of RAWF in the game we all know and love as Wrestler Unstoppable. My co-host sitting in for El Vacant this evening, she is the first class lass. Please welcome. Gentlemen, please welcome Maeve O'Hare. Good evening, Maeve.
Good evening, Bossman. How are you keeping?
Ah, busy. You know what time of year it is. I am busy.
It's a mortal season. Of course you're busy.
It is indeed, and it is only 3 weeks away, ladies and gentlemen. 3 weeks away from the biggest pay-per-view in RAWF history. We've got a lot to discuss as far as that goes. But first, let's get some GM reports out of the way. Maeve, why don't you start us off here? What have you got for me?
Well, since you've got me here, so just a slight update to the Bridget tourney. We are in the semifinals, which is exciting. So we are down to Wildfire versus Conk and Blake F. and Bradley versus the Immortal Griffiths. So good luck to everyone. And we will see who moves on to the finals, and hopefully I can report on that in 2 weeks' time.
Yes, in 2 weeks' time. By the way, folks, we are taking next week off. There will be no RAWF After Hours. I'll say it at least one more time on the show just to make sure everyone hears it. But, yes, we will be taking next weekend off, a little break, if you will. There still will be a Superstars on Sunday, but there will be no radio show Saturday night. All right, but. Thank you, Maeve, for the St. Bridget's report. And that's been a great tournament thus far. We'll be talking about another great tournament that's going to happen here in just a few seconds. But we have the tag team report from Unstoppabot here. The top five teams after 4 of 6 rounds are, in first place, the tag team champions themselves, Deez and Mithras. In second place are the Cage Shakers, Papa Shaker and Chris Cage. In third place are Mind Games, AF James and the Extreme Enigma. In fourth place, two miserable fuckers, Krabby and Strangleheart. And in fifth place, Crazy Train, Little Miss Sassy and the true badass Billy Gunn. Thank you, Unstoppabot. And as far as I know, that is all we've got for GM reports tonight. Unless someone wants to send one in mid-show, they can do that, and I won't read it off. But All right, so that's what we're looking at there. Last week on Superstars, someone you're very familiar with, Maeve, Scythed, won the Superstars Championship from Tigress, his first RAWF title for a while. And while I can't say he's actually been making waves, he's silently getting himself back into the limelight.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. It's just the idea of Scythers being silent. He's so very different here than he is in other places. And I don't know what to attribute that to, because I've known Scythers for a long time. He's my best friend. And it's just so funny to think of him being silent and sneaky. But I am quite proud of him. And I'm hoping that this is the beginning of an upward tick for him here in RAWF. Because he's more than capable of it when he puts his mind to it.
Yeah, he's proven that in the past. And certainly if he does start being less silent, and I know that's probably a weird way to say it, but, you know, noisy, he may get himself into higher positions, no doubt about it. But he is the new superstar.
You heard it here first. Boss Man wants me to make Scythe get noisy.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else with that, like mention about position. But anyways,
I mean, if you're curious about the positions that he gets himself in, I can ask him to talk to you.
That's not the kind of talking I want from Scythe. But anyway, congratulations to him for being the new Superstars champion. His first title defense will be tomorrow here in Montreal at the Bell Center. His first title defense will be against DW Diesel Warrior. That is your main event tomorrow. Well, and then also, this is my GM report, Hatfield and McCoy contendership match tomorrow. It will be Conk versus Chris Caves to see who will go on to face Taker for the Hatfield and McCoy championship at Immortal 11. So that will be happening tomorrow. And then, of course, the War Games match set up between Aaron McFadden and a team put together by Aaron McFadden against a team put together by the Paragon of Greatness. The winner of that match gets to win. The winning team of that match gets to decide the stipulations between Paragon of Greatness and Aaron McFadden. So if Aaron's team win, Aaron gets to decide. Paragon's team win.
Lots of main events tomorrow, boss man.
It's a big card. It's a star-studded card tomorrow in Montreal, no doubt about it.
This is a Superstars, folks.
Yeah, it absolutely is. This is going to be pretty big here in Montreal. Plus, there's some pretty from what Randy tells me, he ought to be here later to let us know. There's some pretty big undercard matches as well. So. Things are heating up as we get towards the journey to Immortal 3 weeks away. So let's talk about a few things here. Of course, Immortal focuses not just on championship matches and great rivalries and big name face-offs. It also takes the Xanth of the Platinum Dragon Memorial Tournament is the start of its 11th annual Xanther Memorial Tournament. Signups are up, ladies and gentlemen. We have been plugging that scene all week. If you haven't seen it on my feed, I'm sure you can see it on May's feed or Paragon's feed or just about anybody in RAWF, I think, has pretty much JBS'd it. But it is, of course, you are already in RAWF. No need for you to ask for an invite. Just go to the events tab. It is like the second one down at this point. Join the Xanther Memorial Tournament. We already got, I think, almost 80 people in. Last I checked, it was just a tad under 80. So we're off to a good start there. Not too bad. 3 weeks away, ladies and gentlemen. We'll continue plugging that. So there is that, and it's a huge payout. As always, ladies and gentlemen, plus a lot of videos, a couple of companies on the line, a lot of artwork. It's going to be a lot of fun, as it always is. And, of course, last year's winner, Sassy Applebee's, has already signed up, as has STB, who is also a former winner. So it is going to be a happening, no doubt about it. Maeve, I believe you're already in there.
I actually just signed up because I just remembered that I hadn't done so. So I'm glad you reminded me.
you just really. Holy cow.
I literally were doing it while you were talking. I was like, wait, did I sign up? I don't remember. Let me check. No, I had not. It's been a week.
You're literally the 79th person to sign up. The next person who signs up will be number 80. So.
That's exciting.
But at any rate.
Have you talked about the prizes?
Well, let's do that. Let's see here. So the official prizes are the four quarter finalists each get 10 million coins, 250 wrestler bucks. The two semifinalists each
quarter finalists.
That's just for the quarter finalists, yes. Semifinalists get 25 million coins, 500 wrestler bucks, and a custom Titantron. I think it's is it like an animation or like an animated GIF? What is a custom Titantron?
I am not entirely sure. But Hobo's out in the green room there, so perhaps he can clarify for us what he means when he says a Titantron.
Yes, but at any rate, each semifinalist will get one of those from Hobo Ezekiel. The runner-up in the Xanthar Memorial Tournament this year gets 70 million coins, 1,500 wrestler bucks, an entrance video by Blake Bradley and a company. And then for the winner, it's 120 million coins, 2,500 wrestler bucks, an entrance video by Extreme Enigma, a company, and a promo package from the legendary Kong. So those are the prizes for this year's Xanthar.
That promo package enough is reason to sign up.
Oh, no kidding. No doubt about it. If you haven't seen Conk's artwork over the last few months, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen some of the great stuff he does to get a full package from him like that, because it's going to be include a nameplate, a promo picture, probably a couple promo pictures. I'm not all sure what happened in this package, but at least a nameplate and a promo pic, and probably a few more as well. So, yeah.
Well, give me a second, and I can tell you exactly what's in that promo package. It is three pictures, an animated plate, and a 30-second video.
Woo! Nice. Very nice. That's exciting. So, yeah, a lot going on for the winner of this year's Xanthar Memorial Tournament. It will start March 31st. At 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or around 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, maybe 9, depending on when we do the live Immortal 11 show.
All right. Zeke posted the sample. So it's the video part that would be playing behind you when you're doing your entrance.
Okay.
With music.
All right.
Something for posting in scenes and promos and such.
Nice, nice. So two people are going to get that from Hobo Ezekiel. So that's going to be a great, you just have to get up to the final eight, get the money. So get it.
You just have to do that, he said.
What's that?
Just have to get up to the final eight. Out of 80, at least. And it's probably going to be twice that much.
Yeah, it could be. Although, I'll be honest, we average probably around 100 yearly for the Xanthar. Sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more.
I think we had like 117 last year.
Something like that. It got up there. So yeah. It's gonna be great. I'm looking forward to it. It's always a huge competition. Is the Xanthar Memorial Tournament, and no different this year. Also at Immortal 11 will be the announcement of this year's RAWF Hall of Fame class of 2024. And the suggestion scene has been out now for about a week, I think. Yes, it was 6 days ago that I put that out. And if you haven't gone into the Hall of Fame suggestion scene, this is your opportunity just to make your opinions known. This is not a voting scene. You're not voting on who to put in. You are just saying, hey, This is who I think should go in, and this is why. This is an opinion scene only. The final decision is made by the Hall of Fame committee. We've got some good names thrown around in there, I think. Some people have made some pretty definitive reasons, and there's and the committee has been gobbling it up and taking it in, and at Immortal 11, final decision. What's that?
You said they're gobbling it up, and I'm just picturing them like a bunch of hungry, hungry hippos. Did you ever play that game? The hippos and the marbles.
I may have. I'm not sure. Wait.
I'm just picturing the Hall of Fame committee, just like a bunch of like hungry, hungry hippos eating away at these marbles of suggestions.
Yes, we'll go with that.
Might just be because I'm hungry.
Yes, it might be because you're hungry. Are you not hangry? Are you?
I'm not feeling hangry at this particular moment, but it's early days yet. Let's see how angry someone makes me.
But if you have not made your opinion known, that scene can be found shared on the feed quite a bit, and I do believe I also posted it in. I'll make sure I the
RAWS
network.
It's also in the chat.
It's also in the chat. Thank you, Maeve. Ah, yes. And it's also in the RAWF network scene. So, all right. So, those are the two big things that happen at Immortal every year. Let's talk about some of the matchups we're going to have. Of course, we mentioned the War Games match tomorrow to decide the stipulations for Paragon of Greatness and Aaron McFadden. So this could be just about anything. We don't know what exactly to expect, but we know the whole story. We know what's going on here. And that while, Paragon's going to got to also focus on another particular match that evening, I have a feeling he's not going to take it easy on Aaron in any way, shape, or form. What are your thoughts on Paragon of Greatness versus Aaron McFadden at this point?
I feel like I'd be disappointed if McCorkra did take it easy on him. He's had it coming for a long time. We've talked, at length about how very much of a betrayal this is, and that there were a long time there where McCorkra were the only one who believed in McFadden. I'm not even sure Aaron McFadden believed in himself at that point. And McCorkra went out of his way to do everything he could to support him and help him and get him to where he needed to be in this company. And for this to happen, there's no forgiving that. So I cannot wait. It doesn't matter what the stipulations are going to be. And I don't like the chances of McFadden's team, even though we don't know who all of them are yet, just knowing the three names that I have seen kicking around from McCorkra's team. But I'm not going to steal his thunder. I'll let him talk about that later. But I don't think it looks good for McFadden to get to choose the stipulation for that match. So easy money on McCorkra.
Paragon has definitely gotten an all-star team put together, and we don't even know who they all are. So yes, you're not wrong. Although the names that Aaron put together are two pretty solid as well. So we will see. We'll have more on that as the night progresses, and probably should have all eight participants for that War Games match tomorrow here in Montreal. Let's see here. We have the Three Stages of Hell match between William Braxton. I don't know. I've never seen him be called anything but Fire Chief Bill until this point. I can't really. But he's William Braxton. I didn't know that was his last name.
We call him the Chief. I feel like calling him the Chief is okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe we can get that out.
I don't know, William. What do you think? Are you good still being called Fire Chief Bill? Do you want us to call you William? Can we call you Chief? Like, let us know what you prefer here.
The monster. I don't even know. When someone goes the drastic direction, it's kind of hard. But he will be.
He couldn't hate me enough to call himself a monster in RAWF.
But he will be taking on Soul Reaper in a Three Stages of Hell. So here is what they are, the three. Hold on a second. Got to find it.
I was going to say, you should know what the third one were because you picked it yourself.
I know the three stages of hell. We've got a Belfast Brawl, a Bull Rope match, and then I chose a Lumberjack match as the third stipulation match. And that one's going to be fun because you've got to get two fan supports before you can move in any given set. So they're going to have to get people to get in there. Of course, I don't think Bill will have too much problems with it. After all, he is a member. He is a member of the DOC, and I'm sure they'll be in there at ringside rooting for him in the Lumberjack match. So at any rate, so that's what we have there. Let's take a look at some of the title matches we now know about for Immortal. I believe Eva has chosen the Extreme Enigma as her opponent.
And I'm excited to see that.
I think this is like, quote me if wrong, I know you chose him once during your Champions Choice Child reign, so this is his second opportunity. But
can you imagine the embarrassment of being chosen twice for this and losing both times?
Yeah, that is definitely not going to be fun. Because here's the stipulations. It's a stretch-too-thin match. Of course, the champion could do whatever she wants. 300% bag on, but Enigma can't use it. Enigma may only use hold maneuvers. He must use a strength, agility, and intelligence move in any order before he can repeat any attribute, and same rules apply to the repeats. All three attributes were going. Ugh, okay, hopefully I hope he understands it because I'm not quite sure I understand it.
I don't understand why everyone is so confused by this. It makes perfect sense to me.
So he has to use a strength hold, an agility hold, and a intelligence hold.
What it is they have to use one of each of those three attributes in any order they like as a hold before they can start repeating. So they couldn't do strength, then agility, then intelligence. They'd have to do strength, agility, intelligence, and then they could go back to agility. They could get a strength. They could do whatever they want within those three attributes, but they have to use at least one of each first, and they all have to be holds.
Okay. Agility is the little green thing, right?
No, the speed.
Okay.
Agility
speed.
Is the purple one.
Okay, so strength. Okay, okay, so it can be done. I was like, I don't see any green. All right. Okay, so. So it can be done.
I'm assuming that's why speed didn't make it into this list, because there are no speed holds.
Nah,
which makes sense when you think.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. Okay, so it can be done. I don't know. Something just happened at Enigma's hotel room. I have no idea what, but he ran out like a bat out of hell. But he will be challenging Eva for the Champions Choice Championship at Immortal 11. Also, we know that the Powerball Championship will be contended between the reigning champion Hobo Ezekiel and Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler's second consecutive opportunity at the Powerball Championship. So, NC unsuccessful getting that title away from him at Love Hurt. What are his chances at Immortal 11, considering he probably knows Hobo a little bit better now?
I mean, it's always that balancing act, isn't it? Of first, you know, you had the first shot and you're like, okay, I've learned and I can tailor my approach to it and it's going to be better this time. But your opponents had that same opportunity to get to know you better. And if it's any sort of competitor at all, which you kind of have to be a champion here, it doesn't end up being as much of an advantage as you'd like. Because they've had that same opportunity to study you. And so then you have to start thinking, well, do I want to change my approach? Are they going to change their approach? And then you end up outthinking yourself, and it doesn't do you any good. So my advice to everyone who's going after the belt that they've tried going after before is just do what got you there. You know, whatever it were you were doing that got you into this title shot, that's what you need to be doing. That's your bread and butter. That's what got you to the dance. Why change what works?
Well, I mean, to be fair, though, Nightcrawler, what got him to two consecutive titles was guessing at least one out of three numbers and then beating a couple people in a tournament. So I'm not sure if this applies to that, but
I reckon what you could do is you could, like, number all of the moves that you do and then, like, have someone, like, draw them out of a hat for you. And just whatever it says.
Wouldn't that be interesting? All right. So that we have that matchup. We now also have a multimedia championship match between Davila, the reigning champion, and Little Miss Sassy getting her first ever opportunity in RAWF championship. However, if I was getting my first opportunity in RAWF championship, I don't know if facing a Hall of Famer on the biggest show of them all would necessarily be my, well, then again, it would definitely be it's a career making match for Little Miss Sassy, if we're being honest now that I think about it. But Davila has, I believe, participated in every single Immortal, one of the very few to have done this, and knows what it takes to win on the biggest show of the year. So how is this a huge uphill? Is this going to be too much of a uphill battle for Little Miss Sassy, or could she surprise the Hall of Famer?
I mean, anything can happen on any given Sunday, as someone we both know is fond of saying. But I don't like her chances. It's great that she's getting this title shot. It's well deserved. She's been doing a lot of good stuff here in the company. But you're right. It is a little bit of a sort of a booby prize, if you will, to be like, oh, I get to have my first title match at Immortal, and it's against Hall of Famer Davila. And it's not as though anyone gets into the Hall of Fame just for the laughs. But when you think of Hall of Famers who really earned their way in there, I would put Davila near the top of that list every time. So congratulations to Miss Sassy for getting this prize. It's one of those things where it's like just being nominated is an honor. Like, just getting to the title match is impressive. But I don't foresee her taking that belt home.
I mean, I've known Davila for years. She and I started tagging up towards the early part of my career. So I can't, I hate to bet against her, and I certainly can't hear. Well, Miss Sassy's going to have to show a little more sass, if you will, at Immortal, I think, to unseat Davila, the multimedia championship. Fire Chief Bill or William Braxton, the guy, William, will be defending his Triple Crown championship against Uber Vegan TPO and, of course, your favorite person, the Immortal Griffith. And on paper, to me, this is going to be the Immortal Griffiths to win, and I'm certain you kind of feel the same way here.
I mean, I don't want to overlook Vegan, and I feel like, unfortunately for him, because of everything that's passed between English and William here, folks are going to end up overlooking Vegan, and the story of this match is going to become the Immortal Griffiths versus William Braxton. And English has already made it clear that that's who his focus is on. And obviously, like, that's who you need to defeat. You need to defeat the champion. But Triple Crown, more than any other belt in this company, is a belt that plays into that champion's advantage. Okay, maybe Champion's Choice does a little bit more, but that's a special thing. That's not what we're talking about here. Out of all the usual belts, Triple Crown is definitely the one that has Champion's Advantage, because more than it being English's match to win, it's William's match to lose. He's got to underperform to lose that belt. And lately, he's not been someone who's been underperforming. Does this mean that I think that he's got a chance in hell against English when he's pissed? No. But I think it's going to be a really good match. I'm going to be watching that match closely. I might even take myself down to ringside. So I'm looking forward to that match. I hope that William has enjoyed his time with that belt.
It could all come to an end for him at Immortal 11. But I mean, if I were the reigning Triple Crown champion, and seeing those two in the ring coming after my gold, I would be extremely. I'd be very tense. I'd be very worried, especially with Griffith. But TPO it can also sneak up on you if you're not careful. So. Yeah, it's going to be I think Bill's got his work cut out for him at Immortal as a whole. He's got the three stages of hell with Soul Reaper. He's got the Triple Crown title match. Bill is going to have to be on the top of his game if he wants to walk out of Immortal with the title and survive the three stages of hell. Deez will defend his FUBAR City Championship against the Witcher, Ken Costa. Ken Costa's first opportunity in the RAWF title, also coming against a Hall of Famer on the biggest show of the year. And, I mean, to be fair, I think this is almost the exact same conversation we just had with the multimedia title. You know, Deez is a FUBAR City, is starting to be, he's the mayor of FUBAR City. He's a Hall of Famer. He wants to hold that title. Well, does Ken Costa have a chance in hell here?
Ordinarily, I'd say no. But Ken Costa surprised me. I were the one he were facing for that contendership match. And he surprised me. He is tougher than he looks. And he's smarter than he looks, which is a dangerous combination. I think it's going to be a violent match. I mean, it's FUBAR City, so it always is. I think Deez has a good chance to retain, but he needs to go into this match taking it seriously. If he rests on his laurels and just thinks about it as I'm the mayor of FUBAR City and I'm a Hall of Famer, and who the heck is Ken Costa, he could end up getting surprised just as well as I did.
Yep, indeed. And is it going? Personally, I think Deez has got the advantage. I think he will walk out still FUBAR City champion, but maybe the Witcher surprises us all. We find out in just 3 weeks' time. Hold on 1 second. Okay, so Midnight Hobo title match is going to be a doozy, I think. Hobo Ezekiel defending that title against a former Midnight Hobo champion, Conk. And Conk, of course, lost the title to Money Sue at Black Friday. At Jingle Hell Rock, Hobo Ezekiel took the title from Sue. And so this is kind of a roundabout way of getting a rematch for Conk. But this is going to be a very good matchup, I have a feeling. Very close. I know how bad Conk wants this title back. I know how much Hobo enjoys being the Midnight Baller. Where do you see these two titans? And really, they are titans. I'm not just saying that. How do you see this match playing out, Maeve?
Huh. I mean, I think Hobo's really hit his stride here. Like, this has been a good opportunity for Hobo to show that as much as he is entertaining, and I don't think anyone would deny that, he's not just here as comic relief. A lot of times in the past, we'd seen Hobo get himself to the main event, get himself to these title matches, and then something silly happened and he got distracted or he started yelling yeet or whatever it is. And the match ended up going the other way. And something in him has shifted to the point where he's now able to focus on these important matches. And a focused Hobo is a terrifying thought. I think it's going to be close, but I think Hobo's going to retain.
Well, we will find out. I can't. I can't call this one either way. I think this one may be even Steven, just based on performance. We will see. But it could be and easily be one of the best matchups of the evening. The national title will be on the line. Hotshot Chaz defends against Eva. And I know I know you are very fond of Eva, and I think you're kind of fond of Chaz. I don't know. Maybe you are. Maybe you aren't. But
I don't dislike Chaz.
I mean, this is going to be a hell of a national title match. Who do you see walking away as the national champion? Will it be Eva?
I mean, if I had my druthers, it's going to be Eva because I do genuinely really like her. She's fun and she's talented and she always makes things more interesting. That being said, I can apply literally all of those descriptions to Chaz Ladd as well. He's fun and he's talented. And right now he's been working to make things more interesting. So my hot take prediction is that a exciting up-and-comer in RAWF is going to walk away with that title. Which is to say, I can't call it either way.
That's fair. All right. So, yes, that's going to be exciting. Another exciting match is a rematch from Love Hurts, where Killer Neptune defeated Simply the Best to become Platinum Dragon Champion. The rematch happens at Immortal 11, although this time Killer Neptune, the champion, STB, the challenger. Can Killer beat STB for a second consecutive pay-per-view after STB's pretty damn good run with the Platinum Dragon Championship, or will STB get that strap back from him at Immortal 11? What are your thoughts, Maeve?
Can Killer do it? Absolutely. He's proven that he is a force to be reckoned with. That being said, the difference here is not only that Killer is defending the belt and STB is challenging. If I were STB, I'd be feckin' mad at this point. Because, you know, you've got this awful feckin' impressive run going of being the Platinum Dragon Champion, of getting yourself into that main event every month, going after the world title. And then you have Killer Neptune come around and wreck both of those things for you. So Killer's going to need to look out because STB is always dangerous. He's always on his toes. He's always at the top of his game. But there's that added impetus of the frustration that I have to imagine he's feeling. So I think it's a harder match for Killer this time around than it were last month.
Champion's advantage can only go so far, and I think STB maybe, you know, he doesn't take losing very well, and so we will see. We'll see what happens. STB has been in the mix for quite a while for the world title and the Platinum Dragon Championship, and I don't see it. I see him being very persistent, certainly, in his chase for either, if not both, of those titles. But he is challenging Killer for that, to get that Platinum Dragon title back. We know neither of the matchups for the Estrogen or Men's Championship, so let's take a look at the Biatch of the Month. It is now, right now, the final four in the semifinals. You have Davila versus Kitty Kabam and Tigress versus Cougar. All four of them, former Estrogen champions, three of them are pretty much, if you took Tigress, Davila, and Cougar, you have about 80% of the entire reign of Estrogen title reigns time.
You're not wrong.
It really is. I mean, between those three, that title has been 80% between those three in RAWF history. Kitty Kabam also had it for a small period of time, but she could possibly get it back again if she can get past Davila. And, of course, if Cougs were to win...
Kitty's one of those folks that sneaks up on you. I think sometimes people don't take her seriously because she don't talk as much and she has that look about her. No offense, Bossman, but I'm sure you can kind of sympathize with it. So she's got that look of being kind of blonde and ditzy, and no one takes her seriously for that reason. But she is tough as nails in the ring. I have had many good matches against her, and we're probably about 50-50, if I had to guess, as far as, like, win-loss. So don't overlook Kitty. It's one of those things where, again, it's easy to do because you got probably the three most dominant estrogen champions as the other three competitors at this point. So I don't want Kitty to get lost in that mix and people to say, oh, well, it's going to be one of them three, because it could easily be her. But I think the defining quality of this is that Cougs wants to go into Rataversary as the estrogen champion, even more than she wants to be the estrogen champion at Immortal. And the best way she can do that is by winning this tournament and choosing her own opponent. So she's got that added impetus because she's looking past Immortal. Rataversary is her favorite. She said it more than once. You know, her anniversary is right around Rataversary. That's her favorite show. So I think not just because she's the champion, but because of everything that comes after Immortal, Cougs is the one to beat. So this is Cougs' tournament to lose. It's Cougs' belt to lose. And I think if she's half as clever as she usually is, she's setting herself up for success.
That wouldn't surprise me. And it wouldn't surprise me if she wins Beyonce of the Month and gets to choose her opponent, because she's done that several times as estrogen champion. So that's one of the things she loves doing, is winning the Beyonce of the Month and choosing her next victim. All right, the Arsehole of the Month. It's only in round two. The Immortal Griffith, Deez, Nox Boogie, The Razor, Papa Shaker, Killer Neptune, Money Sue, Stream Enigma, Chris Cage, Hot Shots. Yeah, there's a lot. It's a big bracket. It's very
That's
hard.
A murderous row you just listed there.
Yeah, yeah. We're only waiting on a couple of matchups, to be honest with you. I think there's only two or three left. So it's really can't say much about the Arsehole at this point, except that it's going to look like it's going to be a murderer's row for somebody. However, I can announce to you that the Extra Points tournament is over, and it was won by the Immortal Griffith. So Griffith getting a leg up on the competition.
You're telling me this like I didn't hear about it the second it happened.
We all heard about it the second it happened, let's be honest. But
Some
yes.
It's not his defining characteristic.
Well, you know, he never has been. And I doubt that's ever going to change.
But congratulations to English, because that is a hard tournament to win. Having never won it myself, I can speak to that.
It's not the first time he's won it. You've never won the Extra Points tournament. Wow.
I've made it to the finals. I've never won it.
Oh, I mean, and he has won it. I'm going to take a look.
Usually because I run into either English or more Corkra. That's usually what ends up happening, is I run into one of them too, and then I'm just like, well, I'm off the pick.
Right? Hold on one second. Let's take a look at that. I'm curious now. So, last year, in last year's rankings period, last year's overall, he won it two times. In 2022, he won it two times. And 2021, two times. He's won it just so in the last 3 years, he's won it six times. And seven now. So, yeah. And he's I only started keeping track of Extra Point tournament wins on the overall in 2020. So, yeah, that's just, it seems to be a tournament he's very good at. What's this one? All right.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing about him, is that he's good at anything he puts his mind to. It's disgusting, really.
Yeah. Yeah. But at any rate, so we do, again, those are the updates on all the tournaments. But now let's talk about the main event at Immortal 11. And this one's going to be a doozy, Maeve. Chris Cage, the World Heavyweight Champion, defends the title in the main event against the Paragon of Greatness. So much to talk about, unpack here. As you know, 2 years ago at Immortal 9, these two had a hell of a match. And they both men came close to dying in that match. They were fierce rivals just 2 short years ago on the biggest show of them all. 2 years later, it comes back full circle, and while they may not be the enemies that they were 2 years ago, they're certainly not, you know, not, well, I guess Paragon does call him his bestie. So it's kind of come full circle here for Chris Cage and the Paragon of Greatness. And, of course, this is Paragon's 5th time main eventing Immortal. Last year he challenged Deez, the World Heavyweight Championship, unsuccessfully. So, and another note, Paragon took the White Lightning title from Chris Cage just a few weeks ago, something that Chris Cage coveted for a year. So he was able to get that away from him, something that, you know, kind of defined Chris Cage over the past year. Can Paragon do the same thing at Immortal 11? What are your thoughts, Maeve?
Oh, were you asking me that? So here's the thing. 99% of the time, my answer to that would have been, yeah, yes, of course, it's going to be more Corkra. But this ain't the same Chris Cage that we've seen more Corkra face at Immortal before. We've all remarked on the change in Chris Cage over the last several months. The settling of Chris Cage, I guess you could call it. I still have my concerns. Every once in a while I see something out of the corner of my eye on the feed that makes me go, huh. But for the most part, it seems to be a sincere, genuine, lasting change in Chris Cage. And I think that that's going to make this different than any other Chris Cage versus More Corkra match we've ever seen. I think it's going to make it a better match. I think it's going to make it a less predictable match. And given everything else that More Corkra has on his plate, 99% of the time I would say, you know, of course, the world title match is going to be the top of your attention. But More Corkra also has this match against Aaron McFadden. And we all know what's led up to that and how he feels about that. I think there's a very good chance that we hear "and still" at the end of that match.
Well, I don't know. I called it several months ago that I thought Chris Cage was the next big thing in RAWF. This is kind of like, and he proved it. He proved it to be true. And, you know, Paragon, well, he is still the Paragon of Greatness. It's kind of like old school versus new school. Would you say, is that accurate? Yes, no?
It depends on how far back we want to take our definition of new school. Like, as much as More Corkra feels like an institution here, and in many ways he is, he'll be the first to tell you that he's only been around the last few years. You know, he's not like Davila, who's been at every Immortal. So in some ways, you could still argue that More Corkra is kind of new school. Compared to More Corkra, Chris Cage is very much the new school. But also, Chris Cage is moving into that part of your career where you start becoming the established face of the company as well. I really think this is more a story of the... I don't know, once upon a time we could have said it was a story of, like, good versus evil, but that's not the case anymore either. I'll tell you what, I'm going to stick a pin in it, and when More Corkra comes on, we'll ask him what sort of story he reckons this is.
All right. And we will have Paragon join us here in just a little while. One second. All right. So, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that is our lineup for Immortal 11 thus far. It's going to be an epic night, that I guarantee. All right, we're going to take a quick song break. When we return, we're going to be joined by Soul Reaper and Fire Chief Bill discussing, once again, their three stages of hell match. Also on the docket, I do believe, as we said, Paragon, and who knows who else will show up. But those two are definitely, they are already here. They are reaped and ready to talk about the three stages of hell match at Immortal. We will talk with them and a few more people when we return. This is RAWF After Hours on the RAWF Radio Network. Be right back, guys.
Nobody remembers those who do not reach for the stars. History doesn't record the deeds of the weak or the timid. Achievements are not reached by those without hunger. Goals are unachievable by those who do not push themselves. But those that do reap rewards that are never forgotten. Their names are forever etched in the frame of time. And on this night, a night of champions aptly named Immortal. Many will rise, many will fall, but all will push themselves to the limit. Because here at Immortal 11, is where legends are forged. So take your best shot.
Yo, 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 it's your boy Blaze McCoy, the lunatic kick from the sticks, the Steel City Sultan, your dungeon master, creator, commentator, promoter, MC, DJ, ring announcer, play-by-play, all that good stuff. And you're tuned into the Blaze Radio Network as part of the Digital Wrestling Syndicate here on YouTube, where we're showcasing your original created characters with custom shows, titles, arenas, and music. Our digital wrestling shows feature you in action in the ring, putting unity back in the community and repping many other channels with unique events like the Combat Kingdom Stable Wars, Game Night with interactive chat, games, and prizes, the Get Blaze Talk Show with special guests, show reviews, recaps, and live interviews, digital collector cards, free roster pages on our Wix website where you can find everything you need to know about LTD, and check out the TeePublic store for your LTD merchandise. Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Blaze Brews Eliminator Beer. Don't get eliminated. Get obliterated. Drink Eliminator Beer. And sit back, relax, let the AI take you for a ride. But always remember this. We're all leaning towards death. Some are just a little bit closer. Peace and positive vibes to all you. And stay tuned to Blaze Radio. Hook, line, and sinker. This is your boy, Blaze McCoy, saying, see ya in my stream.
Shout out to my boy Blaze McCoy on the Blazed Radio Network, part of, I believe, the Hardcore Sports Network as well. He does a lot more than just LTD. Folks, if you aren't tuned in to Blaze Radio on YouTube, you are missing out, and that is a fact. All right, we are back here at in Montreal. I'm Lord Amadeus. This is Maeve O'Hare. And you're getting excited, Maeve. We're just a 3 weeks away now from some pretty good stuff happening. The Platinum Memorial Tournament, as well as the Hall of Fame. And everyone looks forward to those Hall of Fame inductions as well. What are you most looking forward to, Maeve?
Oh, that's a trick question. What's the one I'm most looking forward to? I mean, I always look forward to the announcements for Hall of Fame. It has a special place in my heart. And I'm very excited, especially with the announcement last week that factions are now going to be considered. So I'm excited to see what comes of that. I'm excited for English's matches. Looking forward to seeing him get some gold, because as much as he talks about how much he likes being on break, and I can say this because he ain't here right now, he gets kind of testy when he doesn't have gold for too long. I don't think he's used to it. He starts acting a little off balance, like he's not sure why there's not a belt slung over his shoulder. And then it becomes my problem, and I have to deal with it. So it's just less of a headache for me if he has a belt. I think what I'm most looking forward to is, as you pointed out, for everybody who don't have title shots, we still have a few weeks left until Immortal, and it's time for people to start talking and speaking up and making those matches. And if you don't mind, Bossman, I'd like to interject just for a wee moment and shoot my shot, if you don't mind.
Shoot your shot.
Inconvenient.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Bossman. So I saw her out in the green room, and I hinted at this last week in a match I had with her in one of the indies. But Sibel, if you're not otherwise spoken for, which I know you ain't, because we were talking about the estrogen tourney. I would be honored if you'd be my date to Immortal and face me in a match of your choosing. What do you say?
Wow. Wow. That ought to be a good one. If she accepts, which I can't see or not. Why Sibel?
Because I love facing Sibel. She and I face off a lot in the indies, and she always just has the nicest things to say to me. And there's something pleasant about facing someone who just tells you how wonderful you are all the time. I'm not going to say no to that. no, Sibel, I mean, she's another Hall of Famer. all. I think it'll be a good match. Besides, can you imagine how excited that Vacant's going to be when he comes back and finds out that there's a redhead versus redhead match just for him? It's immortal.
And Cy in the chat says, well, no, that's some dangerous power you're giving me there, Maeve. So obviously...
Do your worst, Sibel.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Hey, you may not want to go there. The last time someone did that, she burned down the arena in Atlanta. You don't know. This was probably before your time, actually.
Well, that's about the time that you were picking up hitchhikers in the sewers.
That's exactly what caused it. That's how I got under Atlanta. It's because I had to freaking get to the sewers to get escape the fire. Did you not know this?
I didn't realize that it were because Sibel had lit a fire in the arena, no.
I believe it was a match between her and Paige.
Well, there's your first problem. You put her and Paige in the same match. No wonder
yeah.
it went to hell.
Literally.
Well, she said yes. So I reckon we will wait and hear what sort of match she wants, but you can have Randy add that to his list, that it's going to be the Irish Firestorm versus Sibel at Immortal.
All right. It's done. Signed, sealed, and delivered. You two will square off in a match of size choosing. So hopefully we hear about that eventually. But, yeah, all right. Someone else looking forward to Immortal has a couple of big matches. Let's hear from the reigning champion's choice champion, shall we?
Yes, let's.
Memories lost in the folds of time's veil, forgotten kingdom. Once a ruler stood, now a shadow of his past, lost amidst the mist, whispers in the dark, echoes of a love long gone. Her presence lingers. Enigmatic queen, with eyes like storms in the night, she claims his kingdom. He watches in awe as she reigns with iron will. His last empire blooms.
Yes, I can see it clearly in your eyes.
Words spill, never end. Mouths a sword, truth's entwined lies. Chained by own demise. Endless whispers fly. Grapset, blind to his own fate. Silence, his newest bait. Echoes haunt, warning. Tales spun, threads of tangled web. Lost in his own lies. Fractured soul, cracked mind. Babble pierces night silence. Stretched too thin, he drowns. Doing hotshot things. An enigma. Too extreme. the vulture watches.
Ever mysterious is Eva. Maeve, did you make sense of that?
Of course I did.
You understood everything.
Talking about Chaz and Enigma.
She's speaking in a weird... What is that called when you speak like that? Just one line. What is that called?
You mean the haiku?
Kazoon tight.
Eva has a very unique style, and it's part of her charm.
Yes, she does. Indeed, she does. And apparently it scares Hobo to death. Did you see how he dove over that couch out there?
I think we should just be all happy, and none of us more than Morcorcra, that he didn't dive headfirst into Morcorcra's singlet again.
This is true. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you see that last week?
Yes. Only a minor tear. The singlet is intact. Wow. I want to know the material that he uses for that singlet. Only a little
tear
after...
It's
made
out of vibranium or some such.
Well, must be. All right, ladies and gentlemen, our first guest this evening is your reigning Triple Crown champion. We talked earlier about going through hell. Well, he's going to have to do that at Immortal 11. Let's talk to the one and only... But I'm not sure what to call him. Bill, are you there? William?
Yes, I'm here. And the name is William Baxton.
Baxton.
Remember it.
As in the Baxton boy.
That's the name that I was given when I was born. I just found that out recently.
You just found that out recently? So before now,
yes.
You didn't
know
you had a last
didn't...
name?
I didn't know what my last name was. I just knew it was William. I just knew my name was William.
So are we not allowed to call you Fire Chief Bill anymore?
No, you can call me Fire Chief Bill. But recent developments and, you know, just getting tired of stupid people. I'm just so... The monster came out, and he's out to stay, because only the monster can keep away all of the idiots and bring all of the gold to DOC. And that's what I'm contributing to the Dirty Outcast Club.
Well, you already brought the Triple Crown title to him once, and you will have to defend that.
There's a whole lot more than that, so just putting that out there.
I hear you. Maeve, it sounded like you had something to ask Bill, William.
I mean, first off, if you're tired of stupid people, you're in the wrong industry, laddie. Have you seen some of the folks we work with?
Totally on the same page with you. That's why the monster's out, because the monster's just going to smash many people.
That brings me to my next point, and I said this to Bossman at the top of the show. You couldn't pay me enough to label myself a monster in this company. And just to make sure you do remember what English said last week, you know, in his free time, he describes himself as a monster hunter, right?
Do you really think I give a shit what Griffith thinks and says? Just
I mean, considering
ring,
that you're standing between him and the belt,
okay,
mate,
all due respect, mate, with all due respect, mate, just tell him to get in the fucking ring. That's all you got to do.
I mean, I don't think you're going to have to worry about that.
My track record lately has been to smash. So,
All right. But, Bill, Griffith aside, because I'm casting Griffith aside on this, because, I mean, this is a pay-per-view he covets and looks forward to every year. We also got Uber Vegan TPO as the other challenger to your Triple Crown Championship.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as bold as Griffith may be, but he still can be as tough at times. What's your concern level going into this Triple Crown title match, knowing you've got to face Griffith, one of the best in the business, and TPO, who could sneak in on you if you're not looking to?
My plan is to do what I always do, get in the ring and do my job. And my job is to beat people up. That's my job. I used to be a fire chief, and I was great at it. I'm still great at it. You know what? I can quit this business right now and run off to Dubai and get paid millions of years just to be a fire chief. But no, I want to stay here. This is my love right now. And my game plan, basically, I'm just going to try to pit those two against each other, because we all have to fight each other. That's a triple threat match. Okay? And the more they fight each other, the better off it is for me.
All right.
Being a monster does not mean being stupid. Okay, I just want to point that out. Being a monster does not mean being stupid. And if anyone underestimates me, that's the end. That's the end for it. You know? I mean, just look at this idiot Soul Reaper. You know?
Well, yeah, that's my next question. We got the three stages of hell matches with Soul Reaper coming up. You've got the Belfast Brawl, you got the Bull Rope match, and you've got the Lumberjack match. I mean, are you comfortable with all three of those matchups?
Absolutely, absolutely, positively. There's not a single match that I am uncomfortable.
Ships on figure of the waves are skimming, barren summits to the verdant plains. Each horizon is a new beginning. Rise, Eldraine. Far from the fjords and the ice-cold currents, ravens soar over new frontiers. Songs and sagas of a fate determined. Shields and spears, vows of favor or the thrill of plunder, pulled together for the clan and kin. Clank of hammers and the crash of thunder, out with him. The echoes of eternity. The hell of calling me. To pluck the strings of destiny. The hell of calling me.
accepted by the said Celtic Nightmare Soul Reaper. Good evening, Soul Reaper.
Good evening.
Well,
you boys better behave yourselves.
Well,
yes, ma'am.
I don't know if that's going to happen, hopefully, but yes, let's try to keep it as peaceful as possible. But Soul Reaper, I'm assuming you interrupted because you had something you wanted to say to William.
Oh, yeah. First of all, Bill, you know they make medicines for split personalities, right? I don't know what's going on with this identity crisis you have going on, but they do make medicines for that. Oh, and by the way, how is FCB1 doing after I traumatized it?
Yeah, that was
not
good.
That's right. Shut the fuck up, bat boy.
Children.
It's my turn to talk now.
William,
he did ask him a question.
You a chance to say your piece.
Okay. So, Soul Reaper, what do you have to say then?
I don't really have to say much. I mean, I know what I'm getting myself into. I know what Bill's capable of. I know what I'm capable of. I don't really need to say much knowing that I already know I've gotten under Bill's skin.
And you...
I'm telling you what. If you come anywhere near FCB1 again... I know thousands of places in the swamps of Louisiana where they cannot find a body.
Okay.
All right, well, I've got a serious question for Soul Reaper while we're here.
Go ahead.
All right. Go ahead, Mae.
So, Bossman pointed out with the lumberjack match that... William here has built-in lumberjacks with all of the DOC. How do you feel about your chances of getting lumberjacks to come be at ringside on your behalf during the match?
Honestly, I don't think my chances are good with that because I don't know anybody that would come to the ringside on my behalf as lumberjacks.
Well, you got 3 weeks to start politicking.
And what happens if I can't find any? Does that mean I automatically forfeit that match?
Well,
I don't know, boss man.
Why
don't you go talk to him? Oh, but that's right. You can't talk to him because you bumped that bridge, too. Okay, that's cool.
I mean, if you can't get two fan supports before every move set, yeah, then you would have to end up forfeiting the match. But, I mean...
So can I suggest something to because I don't know if I can come up with that. Can we come up with a different match type instead of a lumberjack match so that way Bill doesn't have an unfair advantage? If he's good with that, with it being switched from being a lumberjack match, if he's good with it.
I'll tell you this. I will come down from my two fan supports to one fan support before each match.
It's before each match set, right?
Before every move set.
Yeah, I honestly don't know if I can get that. I've asked for fan support before. I hardly ever get any responses. Maybe from the English Lions, but I don't know if any of them are in RAWF.
They don't have to be in RAWF.
Soul Reaper.
Oh, they don't.
The fan supports do not need to be from RAWF members. They can be from anywhere in Unstoppable.
Okay.
Talk to me after the show, Soul Reaper. Send me a message. We'll confer. I'll give you some tips.
Okay. I can talk to Godzilla from the English Lions on that.
How's your liver feeling there, Soul Reaper?
Shut up, old man. We're not talking about that.
Well, I am.
Oh, well, you know what? When he stepped into FCB1, he stepped into one of the most technologically advanced machines on Earth. And there was a scan done, and he might need to start thinking about looking for a liver transplant.
What the heck happened to his liver?
He's just hanging out in bars and drinking this and drinking that, and you know, sometimes you don't think about the future. Shut up, badass.
All right, gentlemen. It's obvious that the two of you are ready to go at it in the three stages of hell match at Immortal 11.
There is no doubt.
I'm going to be the bigger person here and take my leave before things get worse.
All right. You do that.
I'll do that, Immortal Bill.
Bill, you got your work cut out for you at Immortal, no doubt about it. So good luck to you, and we'll talk to you again soon, all right?
That's fine. I'll go ahead and make my way over to my bastion of knowledge and do some more scouting on all the little people out there.
Okay.
So I'll talk to you later, boss man. Maeve, good seeing you. Although we have,
you have a...
not the best history together,
One of us kept calling the other one ugly out in the green room, so I don't know whose fault that is. You have a good night, William.
Have a good night, Bill.
Thank
you, sir.
Thank you, boss man.
Well, those two certainly are ready for Immortal, Maeve. No love lost between either of them, to be sure. And Bill is definitely fired up for Immortal. He's ready to kick some ass.
I've seen all their discussions at the United Nations.
Right. all right. Well, next up, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully we will find out who the rest of his War Games team is. Let's bring on a man who is ice cold and out and is, I mean, another member of the DOC who's been causing issues for Paragon now. Let's talk to...
It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now? Grab the bull by the horns, see all that it goes. Nobody tells you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron McFadden joining us. Good evening, Aaron.
Good evening, Rodamides.
So we know two members of your War Games team tomorrow, that being Davila and AF James. It's curious that you chose the two newest members of the DOC, Renegade Division, if you will. Why not someone from that's been in the DOC? Why are these two your first two choices? I'm curious.
You're like, we talked about it at length between the DOC, and we decided to draw some unexpected people to start. Keep going.
Okay.
And I still have two people to reveal for tomorrow.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And have you made? I'm assuming you've made that decision.
And one of them, for the third member, he just left. The monster, William Baxton.
Oh, well, that's an impressive choice there.
Well, he certainly has enough anger as of late without that. Okay, so we got Davila, A.F. James, and FCB. Who's the last member?
When I was making the decision on the last member, I had quite a few people wanted to step into the fourth and last spot, but in terms of a strategic choice. This one, Al Vegan's going to like Natalia Nitro.
Oh, I can confirm that Vacant's going to be thrilled about that one. He does love a redhead.
A redhead? You mean all redheads?
Well, I mean, there's only one of the redheads in the match at the time, so that's the one he's going to be most excited about, the one who's in the ring. But no, I can't say that I've ever heard him say that he had a redheaded lass he didn't like, so.
All right, so Davila, AF James, Fire Chief Bill, and Natalia Nitro are your team tomorrow in War Games. And if they can somehow manage to beat Paragon's team, then you get to decide the stipulations for your match against the Paragon of Greatness at Immortal 11. And, I mean, have you given thought to what you would like those stipulations to be, or are you waiting until the result of the match to make that decision?
Oh, I already know what I'm going to choose. But, Matt, I'm not going to jump the gun and reveal it, because of this, like I always do. I'm going to wait and see what happens.
All right. Well, Aaron, good luck to your team tomorrow. I'm sure you'll be at ringside cheering them on. Interesting choices, to say the least. Are you worried about Paragon's team? The fact that he's got the reigning world champion and a couple others in there that are pretty big. It's pretty big names. Possibly the world champion, to be honest with you, because I don't know if Chris Cage, but he's one of the potentials. Would you be concerned if that happens?
Here's the. Normally, I would be concerned. Would you take a team of all stars just thrown together, or a team that knows each other, trains together, knows each other in and out? Which team would you pick?
Not to put too fine a point on it, but you just said that you picked the two newest members who barely worked with you at all. So how does that factor into your plan?
It was all the two newest members. It was all a strategic decision. And they've been.
I mean, there's nothing bad to say about Davila, especially like you picked a Hall of Famer. I can't fault you for that choice.
All right, Aaron. Well, that means tomorrow, it's going to be a hell of a match. Don't know Paragon's full team at this moment, but it should be one hell of a match, to say the least. Anything to say to Paragon? Because you know he's going to be around here pretty soon.
I'll be seeing you in Immortal in one match or another. And I'm ready.
All right. So we now know. Thank you, Aaron, and good luck to your team tomorrow. May the best team win tomorrow at War Games. All right. So that was ice cold Aaron McFadden. He made his decision. Maeve, it's not a bad team. Certainly,
I'm not mad at the team. He's picked some heavy hitters. Like, it's not like he picked a bunch of nobodies that no one's ever heard of.
No, he certainly did.
I think as far as teams go, he could have gone far and done worse. I think it's a solid team. Do I think that it's the best team to face off against the folks that we know Paragon's picked? Maybe not. But I think it'll be an interesting match, to say the least.
All right. Well, we still got a couple. We still got some things to talk about here.
The fan club.
Change had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
Hey, I'm here. I'm sorry I'm late, boss man. Oh, Maeve, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Randolph. How are you?
I didn't know you was gonna be here. I'd have put on more deodorant. But anyways, how you doing? Hey, boss man, I got the list for tomorrow. You ready for it? I'm sure everybody's ready for it. You want to start with Maeve? That's a loaded question there, boss man. I'll tell you that right now. That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant, and you know it. All right, let me see here. I got it right here, Maeve. Oh, you got yourself a matchup with Hotshot Chaz tomorrow. That's your opponent tomorrow here in Montreal.
Oh, that'll be fun. I always enjoy facing off against Chaz.
Yeah, the reigning national champion. It's a good test on the journey to immortal. No doubt about it. All right. What else you got for me, Randolph? Let's see here. We got people. Who's all out there? Well, we got Eva. Eva. Miss Fishnet. Can't forget about her. She'll be taking on the Celtic Nightmare Soul Reaper. That'll be a good one. I can see that one. Soul Reaper, sir. All right. Well, who else we got out there? Yeah, well, Buckshot is now an active member. We need to talk a little bit more about Buckshot because I think there's something going on with him between him and another member of the DOC. But who's Buckshot face? Boss Man, Buckshot got it easy tomorrow. He has got to go one-on-one to Paragon of Greatness, I'm afraid. So Paragon versus Buckshot tomorrow on Superstars. Ugh. Wow. That's a good matchup, certainly. Wait a minute. That's a matchup between the first two Radical Rumble winners, Dave. I just realized that.
What do you know?
Yeah.
It is.
Yes,
that's
it is.
That's interesting. We ought to do something commemorative for that.
A battle between the first two Radical Rumble winners. Paragon of Greatness versus Buckshot tomorrow. That's nice. What else you got, Randy? Well, let's see here. We got Hobo Ezekiel's out there. Yep, he's out there. All right, let's see here. I got Hobo. Oh, he'd been taking on Killer Neptune. Weren't they like work on that conspiracy together? Yeah, I guess they kind of did. But the reigning Midnight Hobo champion taking on the reigning Platinum Dragon champion in non-title action tomorrow. That'll be a good one. Yeah. Let's see here. What's her name? Cybele, right? Cybele. Anyways. Yeah, that her. She's taking on Sophia McFadden. Fire Chief Bill, I know he's around. He's taking on AF James. Who else? Anybody else out there? No. Well, we got the Immortal Griffith taking on Mancunian Maniac. You can tell him, maybe, since he's your friend and all.
Why do my partners have to face each other? All right, I'll let them know.
Let's see. You got Kayla the Governess going against Kitty Kabam. D's versus Big F and the Hitman. Revenge taking on Strangleheart. Simply the Best versus Spectacular. Black Lilith versus Natalya Nitro. You got Uber Vegan TPO taking on Blake Bradley. Davila versus Sean Hitman Hood. I think those are the big ones right there. Anybody else we need to know about there, Maeve? Aaron McFadden taking on Dami. I know he was around here a bit ago. Any else that I need to talk about, Maeve?
I think that's everybody that's here tonight.
Anybody that's here tonight. All right. Well, good, good. Of course, everybody, as you know.
Did you mention Enigma?
Oh, Enigma. He's taking on Nox Boogie. Enigma taking on Nox
Skull
Boogie.
Skull Paint versus Skull Paint. I love it.
Yeah, Battle of the Skull Paints. Exactly. Look. All right. So, Boss Man, I got a question. And what would that be, Randy? Do I get my opinion made about the Hall of Fame? Do I get to make my opinion there? I mean, Nick Lee, you're not. I don't know. I don't know if you really. I don't know if that's a good idea. But then again, who knows the wrestlers better than you? Yeah, I got
I mean,
a couple
to be fair,
names.
It's opinions, huh? And not nominations. I think Randall should be entitled to his opinion.
Well, I do have my opinion. I think Maeve should go in a second time.
For what?
I don't know. Just think you should go in again. That's all. You know what I'm saying?
I'd never hear the end of it if I just went in a second time for the giggles of it.
Yeah, that's not going to work out. Maybe I'll think a little harder, come up with something for you. We'll see. All right, Randy. Thank you for your time tonight. And you can go out there and just sit for a bit. All right. So, we're set for Montreal tomorrow night here at the Bell Center. Some big matchups there. I did like that one between the two winners of the Radical Rumbles. That was a good one. I don't know how that worked out. Pretty good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time to talk to the man who not only will main event Immortal 11, he's got another big matchup against Aaron McFadden, and he's got a team to name, fully name for tomorrow's War Games. Let's bring on the one and only.
Recognize that I am not alive. I survive. I'm the dance in the hourglass of time. I'm the chalk line, outline. Everything is mine. From the bridge to the earth to the shadows far behind. I'm the stars in the sky and I shine so bright. I'm eternal. I'm the reason that your day turns night. I'm the water and the sun. I'm the bullet in your gun. I'm the finger on the trigger and I'm about to blast one. I ain't never give a shit. All the bitches better recognize the damn motherfucker on the block. And I'm baptizing blood of the fallen. Keep it G, go ahead, Yosemite Sam. Fuck around, beat an X, hologram. Big dog way off the counter. Don't bother with the cake, can't keep me like the way I need my face. Going 6 feet deep, where the dead man sleeps. With no rat that creep in my flesh for weeks. And then the maggot still sleep by the open wounds.
Hey, Ladies and gentlemen, he main events immortal for the second consecutive year, challenging the World Heavyweight Champion Chris Cage, plus a big battle with Aaron, a very big and personal battle with Aaron McFadden. We do not know what form that match will take. We find out tomorrow when War Games comes to Montreal. Paragon, good evening, sir.
Isn't it a good evening, Amadeus? I mean, things are shaping together as well as they possibly could. I can't pretend like I'm not still very hurt. Of course I am. I can't pretend like that hurt doesn't extend far beyond just physical pain. There's a lot of emotional toil and everything that I've had to deal with over Aaron McFadden over the last couple of weeks. But I've got to say, the betrayer is about to get what he deserves at Immortal. His team is about to get what they deserve at War Games. And lo and behold, what season is it, and where does Paragon of Greatness find himself on the Immortal card? I've got to say, despite everything, I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Well, good, Paragon. Good. I'm glad. So with that being said, first off, let's get to the War Games. Have you decided on the team members?
First, I have to say this. I was supremely confident going in tonight as I was going to make my selections that everything was going to be turning up Paragon, but Aaron McFadden, the betrayer, has a good point, and I hate to make that point. Sure, he did pick the newest members of the Dirty Outcast Club to be a part of this team, but there's no telling how long this has been in the cards, how long they've been working together, and this idea of continuity versus a team that is kind of being thrown together, that there are not a complete unit, that is a far better argument than I wanted to hear from Aaron McFadden, making a case for his own team. And I've got to say, that actually does have me a little bit more concerned going into this match tomorrow. That being said, I think that it's incredibly difficult to bet against an all-star lineup like I've arranged. I think that a lot of people have maybe heard some of the murmurings. They've seen a lot of the hints towards it. And, I don't need to play any kind of mystery box with this. I think that I can cut straight to business here, and I can let you know what my War Games team is for the deciding stipulation advantage at Immortal. That team, you may have heard it last week on After Hours, the first person to step forward and volunteer for this team. My greatest frenemy, you might call him, the rivalry that never seems to end, but arguably, probably even not arguably, the greatest superstar in RAWF history, the Immortal Griffith. I am confirming his spot within my team. He made that volunteer, and I could not resist the opportunity to take the Immortal Griffith. With that, I personally made another request. If anyone saw it, if there's one person in this company that arguably is as great of a rival over as long of a time, and indeed the man that I will be across the ring against in the main event of Immortal, Chris Cage, a man that, despite our past, despite the present, and despite the future that we still have against each other, a man that I honestly have seen the change in, and I respect what he has become, and I feel like this whole time I've said it's been it was Paragon versus the DOC for so long till I realized that this was a problem that was greater than myself. This isn't the story of Paragon of Greatness taking on the Dirty Outcast Club. This is the story of RAWF taking on the Dirty Outcast Club, and nobody at this moment represents RAWF more than the World Heavyweight Champion, Chris Cage, who gracefully accepted my offer to be a part of my team, and I'm thrilled to have him. My third partner, I maybe didn't surprise a lot of people, a good friend of mine, somebody you often see me interacting with. I just hope there aren't any weird production members with Careless Whisper triggered up anywhere, because there better not be any singlet ripping come Superstars. And I gotta say, I was watching Superstars last week. It's so hilarious watching this dude. Every time that he has something to say, it's great. There a group of bull nuggets just rolling around backstage. Jeez, I love this dude. Hobo Ezekiel made a volunteer on Superstars this week, and I mean, absolutely, no second thoughts. Hobo Ezekiel, 100% the third member of my team, which does in fact leave a final member as yet to be hinted at or clued in to this point. And that's because I actually haven't asked yet. See, I made this grand point about how it's no longer the DOC versus Paragon, it's the DOC versus RAWF, and RAWF is my family. One of the things about family is that you do oftentimes bicker and fight with your family. Sometimes you don't get along, but at the end of the day, you always are that family. And so I want to make an ask here. Aaron McFadden made a great point about that continuity of teamwork, people that know each other very well. And there's somebody here at the radio show right now that was once a very good friend of mine. And while we haven't been on great terms for about a year and some change, it's somebody I greatly admire. And that's why I would like to ask our co-host, Maeve O'Hare, would you like to fill the fourth slot of my War Games team?
Be second for real. Me.
Absolutely.
After everything you said to me at Immortal last year, after everything we went through, you're gonna come to me and you're gonna ask me in front of God and everybody if I'm gonna be on this team to help you out for your immortal story.
You're sweet, Maeve, but you don't have to call me God.
Oh, you just heard her. Absolutely. I said it is not about DOC and Paragon. It's DOC and RAWF. And you just heard that War Games team. You tell me that there's a better representation of RAWF than the Immortal Griffith, Chris Cage, Hobo Ezekiel, and Maeve O'Hare.
And just think how happy Vacant's going to be now. There's a redhead on both teams.
Well, there's that too.
I take it that's you accepting?
Of course I accept.
All righty. Well, there you go. The team for the Paragon of Greatness is Chris Cage, the Immortal Griffith, Hobo Ezekiel, and Maeve O'Hare. Taking on the team of Davila, AF James, Fire Chief Bill, and Natalya Nitro. Wow. Going to be a hell of a War Games. So I am assuming that it will be cage match rules, as all War Games are, correct, Paragon?
Yep.
All right.
Look, I love a good story. I've always made a point about that. And what better way to put an end cap on our ongoing story over the from last year, myself and Maeve O'Hare, at each other's throats for so long, to finally find a resolution in this, to extend an olive branch to somebody who I may fight with, I may bicker with, but in the end is family. Welcome aboard, Maeve.
I'm flattered to be asked, and I'm excited for tomorrow. Thank you, McCorkra.
All right. So with that being said, we know that that's set up. And, you know, when we had Aaron on here earlier, he said he already knew what the stipulations would be if indeed his team wins. Are you as well prepared for what would happen if your team wins?
I'm going to pull a play out of old Ice Cold's playbook here, and I'm going to keep that announcement close to my chest. But, yes, I absolutely have something in mind, and it will be glorious.
All right. With that being said, let's now turn our attention to the main event, the World Heavyweight Championship against Chris Cage in the main event of Immortal 11. And, you know, everything I pointed out was true. 2 years, it's come full circle for you and Chris Cage. 2 years ago, mortal enemies about killed each other on the big stage on Immortal 9. 2 years later, you'll be fighting again, but this time for the grandest prize in all of RAWF. And while on slightly better terms, it still could be one of the greatest immortal rivalries we've ever had, considering that this is for the big one. Talk to me about facing Chris Cage for the World Heavyweight Championship.
So, you know, Chris and I, we're the best we've ever been. We're in fact, somebody who I consider a friend now, and that's saying a lot given what happened 2 years ago. And while that's all well and good, I think that it would be hard to overlook the fact that that anger, for both of us, is going to have to linger. The man tried to cut my heart out of my chest at Immortal 9. That's not the kind of thing that you lightly forget, and it's not the kind of thing that you forget being so enraged, being pushed to the point of wanting to do. And I can't pretend like, despite everything that's going on now and the terms that we're on, that Chris isn't going to be very upset about the fact that I've just recently taken Sparky from him, his prized possession that he was inseparable from for virtually an entire year. This isn't going to be perhaps the same level of personal vitriol that we had before, but there is more than a competitive edge and more than a level of memory that is going to be driving this match. And to say that it's going to be an exciting main event would be to undersell it. But what's important to me and what I have to say about Chris Cage is that 2 years ago when we fought each other, my entire case that I was making against him was that this unsettled persona was not acceptable. Like, I don't know how it was allowed to go as far as it did, and I knew deep down that the man that I saw when Chris Cage came out to the ring was better than that. The whole time, that's all I was trying to teach him, that was all I was trying to tell him, is that he could be so much better than what he was. And he didn't want to hear that lesson at that time. It took him a really, really long time for any of those words to resonate. And here we are 2 years later, an attitude change that's relatively recent. I think that finally some of those things were getting through to him. And what do we see very shortly after? A brand new world heavyweight champion. In a lot of ways, there's some validation in that, to see that Chris did in fact become the man that I knew that he could become once he turned things around. But there's also a lot of pride, because despite our wars, I've a lot of people always say that we believe, that's the saying about Paragon of Greatness. But when I look at Chris Cage, I can honestly say that I believe in Chris Cage, and I believe in the man that he has become, and I believe that this is going to be an uphill task for me, because I did just win his Sparky, that's correct, but we can check between Immortal last year and Immortal this year. I was winning that White Lightning division almost every month. And almost every month, Chris Cage was sending me back without any championship. It took me the whole year of countless title shots before I was finally able to wrestle that championship away from me. He beat me so many times for that. And while it's a completely different environment, there's no electrified steel cage there, you know, the rules are not going to be completely thrown out in this situation, I can't help but look at Immortal from this perspective. Immortal 5, I made my first main event, and I defended the championship against Johnny Platinum. And from that moment on, I've come up empty every time that I've main evented Immortal. Immortal 6, I lost to Uncle Frank. Immortal 7, I ended up in a draw with Mithras the Title Machine and the Immortal Griffith. Immortal 8, I lost to the Immortal Griffith. Immortal 10, I lost to Deez. And now we go into Immortal 11. And I can't help but wonder if I'm somehow blessed and cursed when it comes to this pay-per-view, because I always find myself in the main event, and I always find myself walking home without the world championship.
Well, I mean, maybe that changes this year. That certainly, I mean, the fact that you were able to wrest the White Lightning Championship off of him, even if it did take you several times, that has to give you, Babe, would you agree with me, but it gives him a slight advantage, some momentum going into to Immortal?
It gives some momentum, but much as I've said that we've seen a different Chris Cage over the last few months, I feel like part of that involves a difference in the way he relates to that belt. He stopped calling it Sparky. I can't remember what he named it. But he stopped calling it Sparky. It stopped being the be-all, end-all of his existence. I don't want to say he replaced it with the world title, but he certainly hasn't been lacking. So I do think on paper it gives more Corker an advantage over Chris Cage. But I don't think it's the same advantage that it would have been this time last year.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, Paragon, I know this is your favorite time of year. I know you're hyped up. You've got a lot to look forward to. I'm not even sure what to say to you. What's the main emotion going through you right now?
It does seem to go this way around Immortal, where I'm at odds, a conflict between my head and my heart, because my head says I've got to do this against Chris Cage. For the better part of the year, we've had a lot to focus about the DOC and Aaron McFadden, which I will talk about in a moment. But another story has been boiling below the surface for myself, and it's based on a lot of statements I made coming out of Immortal last year, a theme of penance that I felt like I've had to pay for my own getting in my way. You know, we often talk about my place within RAWF's halls of history, the Mount Rushmore of RAWF, what have you. And I've always kind of been happy with being at that spot. So happy, in fact, that I've kind of, in a lot of ways, stepped out of that championship winning rat race and focused a lot more on, you know, developing the next generation of RAWF, helping out people whenever I can, doing a lot of things that I try my best not to advertise or, you know, let anybody know that I'm doing, because that's just not who I am. But I think in a lot of ways that I was also letting some of the detractors kind of get in my head. The people that would say, oh God, not Paragon again. And I would let that get to me, because RAWF means so much to me that the people in this company whenever they would express being unhappy with seeing me in a certain position, I would take that personally. I would feel like I was damaging the company, and it took me a long time to kind of realize I need to stop punishing myself. And I think that this past year I've been paying my penance for standing aside and not doing what was actually best for RAWF, just what I had convinced myself in my head was best for RAWF. And now I stand here, 2024, Immortal 11, and the last time I held that World Heavyweight Championship was 2019, which seems like a million years ago. And I think that that's been my fault. I think that I have served my time and paid my price for my own self-consciousness, and it's time. That's what my head is telling me, and it's time for Paragon of Greatness to be what Paragon of Greatness always has been. But then there's that pesky heart. The betrayal at the hands of ice-cold Aaron McFadden, somebody who is a perfect embodiment of what I had just said. I was for the most part, I try to stay out of the limelight because I try to develop that next group of people. I try to be an advocate for people behind the scenes. I try to make something of the people that I truly see something in. And to see one of those people that I was so strongly behind, that I had so much conviction for, to find his very first level of success in RAWF and then immediately parlay that into betraying the people that got him there, it's heartbreaking. And every bit of me in my head says that I need to worry about this Chris Cage match, but every bit of me in my heart says I have to teach a lesson to Aaron McFadden. I have to get vengeance, betrayer. And that's how I'm feeling, torn between my head and my heart.
Well, Paragon, good luck tomorrow to your team against Aaron McFadden's team in the War Games. Very crucial matchup. And, yeah, exactly. You definitely have an incredible team. He has a pretty good team. We'll see what happens. Anything can happen. One of you will choose the stipulations between your big match at Immortal 11. And by the way, thank you for your participation in the Hall of Fame opinion scene. You always have apparently a pretty good influence on the committee, just from what I hear. So,
that's good to know. It's always an honor to be involved in any kind of discussion about RAWF Hall of Fame. I do not hide it well that I care a little bit about this company.
We've noticed. All right. Thank you for your time tonight, Paragon. We will talk to you again in a couple of weeks when we return here on RAWF After Hours. And we'll talk about who won the War Games match and who has to name the stipulations. We'll find out here in a couple of weeks. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we've got one last person. Hopefully he's here. Knock on the see if he'll come out of the dressing room. Let's see if he's here. Yep. All right, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. RAWF. He is the one and only.
First, they took your family and your riches. Then they took your health and your pride. Finally, they left you to die. What will you do, exile, when there is nothing left but to live or die?
every line, broken every boundary. Now it's retribution time, 'cause the church that I went to, it ain't that hard.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is Judgment. No bigger legend in RAWF than him. How are you tonight, Judge?
Good, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you feeling, sir?
I'm good. Hey, Mrs. O'Hara. Very nice evening.
Mrs. O'Hara is my mom, but hi, Judgy. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm doing good. I've had some issues, but I'm doing good. I've been dealing with someone. You know, I told you I'd had a group for Immortal, and I'm willing going to announce the name of the group tonight. And I also have something this year. I created a promotional poster for RAWS Immortal, and I'll give you the copy. I'll let you post it in the chat there if you want to. Just let me know when you post it, because I can't see the chat.
I don't have a URL for that picture, Judge. Do you?
Just right click it. Okay, Meg can do it.
I'll take care of it.
All right. Okay. And who is that, Judge? Just for all the people.
Ladies and gentlemen, performing at Immortal this year will be Sexual Chocolate.
Sexual Chocolate. At
Immortal. Soul Glow. At Immortal. Yes, Sexual Chocolate is coming to Immortal.
You usually don't announce it this far ahead. You must be really excited about this.
There's a certain person that I know is going to be super excited, because this is the type of person, this is the kind of music this person loves, and the Immortal Griffith, this is just his favorite, this is his favorite group. He's my Batman, and this is his fantasy, is to meet Sexual Chocolate. So I'm going to arrange a private meeting with Sexual Chocolate, with Mr. Griffith, so he can get the autograph and get a picture made with him and stuff like that. And then the Soul Glow girl is going to be there. And then I think Reverend Ken Kennedy is his name. I think he's going to be coming there. And maybe I have another surprise or two. I don't know. But yeah, I'm really excited about him. I mean, it's Soul Glow. I mean, come on, it's Sexual Chocolate. It's they're a legendary group, and they're hard to get.
Okay. Are you familiar with Sexual Chocolate, Maeve? That sounded wrong, but I'm what I mean.
I'm not feckin' old, so no.
Judge.
And I got to say, I made some suggestions in the Hall of Fame. See, I read through all the lists. There's some great people everyone's nominating. Or suggesting, and I tell you what, there's a lot of worthy people this year.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw you made your suggestions just a little while ago, and I think they're good ones, and they're all viable ones, certainly. And the committee, I'm sure, will take, especially you, who's been around since day one. They like to take your opinion seriously, for sure. So,
I know I joke around and everything, but when it comes to that, I have to be like Paragon. I'm kind of biased to it, and I have to be 100% serious and nominate who I think is who. I mean, there's a lot of people that I could have nominated, but or suggested, but these are the ones that I decided I think are the or the cream of the crop.
All right. I was surprised by one of them. I was very surprised by one of them, one of your suggestions. But, again, it's very
viable. I thought that would get you.
That threw me off. That definitely did. All right, Judgment. Well,
but,
we are.
I mean, it's how I feel. I mean, this is my
right.
You know.
Hey, and that's the way I wanted it. That's the way the Hall of Fame committee wants it. They want your honest opinion. They want to get to, you know, find out what. And since we are adding factions for the first time, how do you feel about that, Judge? The fact that we're adding factions for the first time in RAWF Hall of Fame.
I think it's great. I think it's fun. I think it's going to be interesting to see which. And there's been some great factions suggested. You know, factions do play a big role in RAWF. We started with a group, and you ended up meeting me for the group, and and then you look at you got the Renorators, you have and Archies, you have this other new group that's in here, Conk's group and everything, and then you have the OPEC Brotherhood who came in and who does their thing, and factions do play a big role in RAWF.
Yes, and just to translate for Mr. Judgment here, when he says anarchy and Renterators, he means anarchy and renegades. Just in case,
yeah,
some people may not think you're actually talking about it. Yeah. Anyways, all right, Judge.
That's true.
Well,
they don't. A lot of people don't think. I forget.
And while you are no longer an active member, you are a great ambassador for RAWF, and we very much appreciate the time and work you still put in, despite no longer being an active member. We appreciate you.
Anytime, sir.
All right, thank you, Judge. So, Maeve, we got a few minutes left here. Since I extended the show over, we can talk. I'm been looking at the Hall of Fame chat, and there's somebody missing. Somebody's opinion's missing. Are you planning on having an opinion on the whole Hall of Fame?
You keep calling me out right when I'm in the middle of doing the thing. I were about to post my suggestion. I'm looking at the screen right now, boss man.
Oh, well, that's called timing. That's called comedic timing is what that is right there.
Called you making me look bad. But no, I'm actually about to post my suggestions right now, actually, since you asked. Would you like me to share them on air? Is that the hint?
Is that if you're not comfortable doing it? No.
No, I don't mind at all. I wouldn't be posting them if I weren't comfortable supporting my opinions.
All right.
My suggestions are two factions, a tag team, and a singles wrestler. So we'll start with the singles and work our way up to the bigger things. So the singles wrestler of the time suggestion is DW. Once upon a time, and I'm going to say this because it's true and not because I currently feel this way, but once upon a time, there was a point where basically if you talked about DW on After Hours or anything to do with RAWF, it were to make a joke. And she took that personal. Perhaps she should. And she has more than made up for it over the last couple of years. She's become a very serious competitor in the estrogen division. She's held other titles as well. She had that back and forth with Kayla for several months. That ended up being a highlight of pay-per-views. She has come a lot further with very little input from anyone else. A lot of the folks that we see doing better for themselves have someone like English or more Corkra behind them, like pushing them. You know, they've got a faction built around them. DW has done this mostly on her own, and I think for that she deserves her flowers. I think she's reached that level. So that's why she's my suggestion as a singles wrestler. Tag teams, Hotness Overload. Bruin Men's have been a solid tag team everywhere they go. They've done basically everything. And their run with the tag titles here in RWF was exactly what you'd expect from them. It was solid. It was cohesive. It were like clockwork. And that's how they work. They're an excellent tag team. They really acquitted themselves well as a tag team here in RWF. And I think that they deserve that attention to them. The reason that I chose to nominate them as a tag team versus as individual wrestlers is because the tag team division is where they shine. I love tag team wrestling. Obviously, I do it just about everywhere I can. And I appreciate seeing other teams that take it seriously and have that genuine enjoyment of the tag division that I do. As for factions, since we are free to suggest them and not get told no factions this year, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon because everyone else is doing it. The Misfits. I feel like if you're going to put factions in, the entire reason to open that up is to put the Misfits on. Like, it's just, I weren't even here when the Misfits were here, and I know about them. So I think that says all you need to know about the Misfits. The other faction that I'm nominating, the Opaque Brotherhood, because no other faction that I'm aware of in RAWF has ever single member already in the Hall of Fame. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be. But I'm pretty sure that the Opaque Brotherhood is the only faction that can say that.
All right. Again, very solid suggestions all around. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of people making a bunch of solid suggestions. I do not envy the Hall of Fame committee this year in making their choices. So we shall see what happens. We have 3 weeks. They have 3 weeks to get together and decide. And of course that scene will stay open for at least another couple weeks. And, we will, you know, even if you change your mind or change what you want to, you know, or find somebody else that you also want to, feel free to put them in there.
But we've already had people come in and be like, oh, I forgot. I wanted to name this person as well. So
yeah,
the more the barrier, make their job as hard as possible.
The more information the committee has, the better. Let's put it that way. And the more opinions, the better. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I said, we are not going to have a show next Saturday night. We're not going to have a show next Saturday night. We return here in 2 weeks' time. And by then, the journey to Immortal will truly be heating up. We will only have 1 week. We will only be 1 week out from the biggest show of the year. We'll talk more about Xanther, the Hall of Fame, Immortal 11. We'll have results from all across RAWF, more news and notes, and updated rankings as well. That is 2 weeks from tonight. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe out there. And we will see you again soon. This has been RAWF After Hours on the RAWF Radio Network. Say goodnight, Maeve.
Good night, Maeve.
I knew you were going to do it. Night-night.